124 for our opening praise this evening. 224, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's stand and worship God as we sing together the words of this lovely gospel hymn. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord together, please, as we sing.
We're going to commit our service to the Lord in prayer. Let's seek the face of God and ask for his blessing upon this gathering this evening. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this evening and through the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge the one into whose presence we come. He is God of all the earth. Thank you, he is the creator of all mankind. He is the one who gives us breath, the one who gives us life, the one who gives his only begotten Son, that he might be the Savior of many. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God who giveth unto his people. And we come into thy presence tonight, and we ask you, Lord, to give us grace for this meeting. We ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom in how to conduct yourself in thy presence. We ask you, Lord, to give us the speaking voice of God in this meeting tonight, that we would know the Lord is in our midst and that to bless. We thank thee, Lord, for meetings in this congregation in times past when God has been in the midst, when people were saved and God's people were encouraged. We pray, Lord, for that meeting tonight again. We ask you, Lord, to come afresh. Come anew. Stir our hearts, we pray. We pray, Lord, through the preaching of thy precious word, each heart will be spoken to and each soul will be dealt with. Lord, each of us need to be closer to thee, and therefore we pray, Lord, that through thy word thou wilt draw God's people closer. Pray especially for the unsaved in this gathering tonight. O Lord, we pray you'll speak to their hearts. Pray for those who mourn tonight. Lord, that you'll speak to them, but Lord, you'll comfort them tonight. We pray, O Lord, as the gospel goes forth, it will find a resting place in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We thank thee, Lord, we're in the day of grace. We thank thee, Lord, for the great sacrifices that were made in the past that we might have the freedom to be here today. We thank thee, Lord, for those who gave their lives that we might have the freedom to stand and proclaim the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for that freedom in this land. We pray it will ever be in this land that the gospel will be allowed to be preached. We pray, O Lord, that you raise up many more faithful men of God to preach the things of God across this land. This nation might be turned back to thee again. Lord, we leave our nation in thy hands. We think of those, Lord, who are serving this nation tonight overseas in foreign lands. Pray for them, Lord. We pray for their safety. Pray for their salvation. We pray, O Lord, thou wilt be a comfort unto them. And we do pray, Lord, that even as we enjoy our freedom at home, Lord, we will not forget those who are serving on our behalf. We do pray specially for this gathering tonight. Lord, we believe in the providence of God and that each person is gathered here because of thy will tonight. And therefore, Lord, we pray that they will hear the voice of God. Lord, we pray you'll bless our brother as he brings God's precious word. And even in the act of remembrance, may we do so to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless each one who takes part tonight. Fill them with thy spirit. May Christ alone be seen. Lord, we do not desire man to be glorified, but simply the Son of God, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank thee, Lord, for the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. May it be so tonight that souls be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We plead with thee, Lord, tonight, come and move among us. Make this a true day of remembrance. Souls are born again of the Spirit of God. For we ask in Jesus' precious and holy and ever-prevailing name. Amen.
Turning to the hymn 431, as we continue to worship the Lord. And at the end of this hymn, we will remain standing as the piper will come to bring in the coloured party. And then we'll have the wreaths of remembrance laid. 431, we stand to worship God. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. 431, we'll stand to worship God together, please. Let's stand to sing. Let's sing it with all our hearts. We shall be led the Royal British Legion. Regimental Association of the Ulster Defence Regiment. The Royal Ulster Constabulary George Cross Association, Macrofell Branch, and former serving members of the RUC, RUCR, GC. Memory of Tiban and families bereaved through terrorism. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Emergency Medical Care. Strabane District Council. Lisburn City Council. Newton Abbey Borough Council. Antrim Borough Council. Ballymena Borough Council. Cookstown District Council. Macrofelt District Council. Constituency of Leggan Valley. West Tyrone. Constituency of Mid-Ulster. The constituency of South Down. Constituency of South Antrim. Behalf of the Northern Ireland Assembly. The United Kingdom Parliament. I lay a wreath on behalf of those who fell in the world wars across this province and in the troubles of our beloved land.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age will not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrows we give our today.
Thank you.
face of the Lord. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of gathering in liberty and freedom in the house of the Lord this evening. We thank Thee for the sacrifice of so many that we might have this blessed privilege. And I pray that Thou will comfort those families that mourn today, those families whose hearts are heavy and sad. We pray that Thou will bring them comfort in the time of their grief. And we pray that Thou will bless our nation. And may it please Thee, O God, yet once again, to send to Ulster a gracious, heaven-sent revival and across this United Kingdom, a mighty awakening of our God. Answer our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Receive the colors. Ask some of our young people to minister to us at this time in song. For ministering to us in song and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We want to bid you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming and joining with us here in our service of remembrance. And I trust that the Lord will bless each and every one of you. Lest we would miss some of you out and not be able to welcome you personally, I'll tell you what, you do it on my behalf. So shake hands with those around you and just say glad to see you and welcome them to the Lord's house. We're certainly glad to have you here amongst the people of God here in Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church. To those who are listening in on the World Wide Web, we want to thank you for joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as you fellowship with us here on our special service of remembrance. Now, I want to make the necessary announcements for our own congregation as quickly as I possibly can. First of all, could I mention to you on Monday evening, that's tomorrow evening at 8 p.m., there's a ladies' fellowship meeting. And also at 8 o'clock on Monday evening, we have a session meeting of our congregation. On Tuesday morning at 10:30, we have the parents and the toddlers meeting. And then at 2:30 in the afternoon, we have the special senior citizens dinner. That is the senior citizens meeting dinner. And that is at 2:30 on Tuesday afternoon. 7 p.m. on Tuesday evening, or 7:15 on Tuesday evening, the men's outreach will be on the doorsteps for the Lord Jesus Christ. On Wednesday evening at 7:10, with the children's meetings, those will be in Macaraw Primary School and also in the complex. On Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, we have the prayer meeting and Bible study. We ask you to come and gather with us around God's precious and God's infallible and holy word. On Saturday evening at 7:20, we have the prayer meeting for our young people. And then at 8 o'clock, we have our youth fellowship. They're having a quiz on the fourth chapter of the book of John's Gospel. They're going through the book of John, and the young people will also be taking part in that meeting themselves. Next Lord's Day at 10:45 is our Sabbath school, our Bible classes, 11:30 the prayer time, 12 noon is family worship. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, the prayer time, and 7 o'clock, the gospel evening service. And our brother, Mr. McKee, will be bringing God's word on these services next Lord's Day. And do pray that God will bless in those meetings here as we gather round the word of the Lord. The missionary prayer requests for this week, the Reverend Ralph Hall in Tasmania, in Australia, and the Reverend Richard Monteith in South Wales. The retiring missionary offering is after both services next Lord's Day. On the mainland, there's an annual rally which is in Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church on Friday the 21st of November. Noel Shields will be giving a report on the work of God in Stranraer and also in the mainland. Reverend Gordon Ferguson will be bringing God's precious word, and the singers will be the Whitfield College of the Bible. So do please remember that, and if you possibly can get along, do please make that effort. The Vision magazine, for those who have ordered it, is available. Let the Bible Speak magazine, the quarterly magazine. I think there's still some out there in the hallway, and can take a copy there with you. Those quarterly magazines of the Let the Bible Speak are free. Could I mention also for our Calvary singers, please wait for a moment after the service this evening. It's very important, because the Calvary singers are ministering in song in Banbridge on Friday evening, and the men's Calvary men's choir will be singing in Culibacky on Saturday evening in the will of the Lord. And so therefore do please remember that. There's still some of the calendars for the new year still available concerning the incoming year for the Let the Bible Speak. We'd like to extend our sympathy to families who have been bereaved. We remember the Dawson family, the Weir Connection family circle, and also the Avril and the Sloan family. We pray that God will comfort them and sustain them at this time. We buried Mrs. Sloan here Mrs. Avril in the service. She was Sandra Sloan. And Mrs. Avril, we buried her this past week, 43 years of age. I was looking back in my own memory. I remember standing at the open grave of her mother when she was 41 years of age, and her daughter now 43 years of age. 7 months ago, we buried their father, 69 years of age. And so therefore, we would extend our sympathy to Mervyn, to the rest of the family circle, the son and daughter, and the wider circle of friends. And we pray that God will comfort them at this, their time of need. Now, those are all the announcements I want to make. I trust that you followed them and remember them. We're turning to hymn 313. And our offering for God's work will be received at this time. 313. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. 313. We'll keep our seats, and our offering for God's work will be received at this time.
I'm
minister in song. Verse number 1.
My home is
seated. Young men and women have gone at the call of Queen and country, and they've gone to the furthest ends of the earth to fight for freedom. They pledge allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen and stand for you and for me. The choir's going to sing to us the words of this hymn, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. The Calvary Singers. the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We open our Bibles tonight in the book of the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, and the chapter is the chapter number 12. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word in Exodus chapter 12, a few verses in this passage of God's word, and we bring the word then that the Lord has laid upon our hearts this evening. Exodus 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A meal of the first year ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." Then down to verse number 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." We end our reading there, and we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His infallible truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the privilege we have of gathering round Thy precious and Thine infallible word. And I pray this night that Thou will give me liberty and power in the Holy Ghost as I would speak Thy precious and preach Thine unsearchable and precious word. Father, we pray that Thou will bring our hearts to the cross. Grant that each and every one of us may come to know the Savior and know that peace and that pardon that can be found in and through Christ Jesus. And so we leave ourselves in Thy hand. Bless us as we study Thy word. For we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His honor and for His glory. Amen. Today across the world and tonight, many millions of people have gathered and even are gathering in places of worship in this special day of remembrance. They have gathered in houses of worship. They've gathered in the open air. They've gathered round war memorials to remember the sacrifice of those who gave their lives that we might enjoy freedom. And you and I know that the challenges to freedom this very night and the liberty of the people of this world right down the centuries have been fought, and people have died to give us the freedom like we have tonight of coming into the house of God. The march of ISIL indeed strikes fear into the hearts of so many people and so many nations. And our servicemen and our servicewomen tonight are once again joining with others in the struggle to set people free. This service of remembrance, of course, is more poignant this year as we remember 100 years ago, 1914, how many multitudes of men and women left our shores and across this United Kingdom and gave their lives that we might have freedom. This is a day of remembrance, especially the First World War, or what is known as the Great War. 28th of July, 1914, ending the 11th of the 11th, 1918. They say that more than 9 million soldiers and 7 million civilians died as a result of that war. The youngest British soldier that died was 12 years of age. He indeed had said that he was older than that and went into the battlefield. And Sidney Lewis died at 12 years of age fighting for your freedom and mine. As we gather in the house of God tonight, memory is a wonderful gift. This is a day of remembrance. And you know, it's amazing how that memory, I say it's a gift of God, because in a moment, many of us can just in a flash remember our childhood days. Remember looking into a face of a mother and a father, and remember those early days, the joys of childhood. And then through our memory once again, we trace our youthful steps, and we revisit the wonderful blessings of friendships and family, many of them even long gone. Some of our memories are sad as we think of memories that break our hearts and make us weep. But thank God for the memories that are happy, those that we can thank God, the amazing journey of life, and how God has given us a wonderful experience of enjoying life with a capital L. But you know, it's also true that quite often we have poor memories. I was reminded just the other day about two old men that were meeting after many years. One was called John and the other was called Billy. And they met up together after many years, and John said to Billy, "You know, Billy, do you remember what a bad memory I had whenever you and I met many years ago?" He said, "I certainly do, John. I remember you had a bad memory." Well, he says, "Let me tell you, Billy, I went to a seminar that taught me how to remember. And you know, it was a great seminar. It really did wonders for me at that seminar." "Oh," said Billy, "is that right? That's great. Tell me, what was the name of the seminar?" "Well," said John, he thought a moment, he said, "Well, just wait a minute." He says, "My wife's with me, and I'll ask her." And then he turned to his wife, and as he turned to his wife to ask her, he turned back to Billy just in a flash, and he says, "Billy, tell me this, what's the name of that flower that has got those big thorns in it, and a lovely flower at the end of it, and there's a lovely smell in it?" He says, "Are you talking about a rose?" He says, "That's right." He turns around and says, "Rose, tell me, what was the name of that seminar that I was at to help my memory?" You know, friends, there are things that you and I very quickly forget. And you know, there are things that we should forget, because God says that he puts our sins into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember them against us anymore. But there are things that you and I need to remember. And friends, it's so important as we gather here tonight in this house of God that we remember some of the things that God has put his hand upon. And I want to mention very quickly three things of remembrance. First of all, I want to think about the remembrance feast. And then secondly, I want to think about the remembrance stone. And then lastly, the remembrance book. And I want you to think with me tonight very simply, and as God gives me help, just to speak about those three things of remembrance that God gives us in his precious word. First of all, the remembrance feast. Look in Exodus chapter 12, and the verse number 14, it says this: "This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." You know, most of us in the service, perhaps everyone knows the backcloth of those verses that night way back long ago. The children of Israel had been sojourners in the land of Egypt. They had been richly blessed under Joseph as he led the people even there in the land of Egypt. But friend, just like everybody else, Joseph has died. And the Pharaoh that knew Joseph and exalted Joseph to be the prime minister of Egypt at that time, he had also died. And there rose up a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph and knew nothing of him and certainly did not know about Joseph's God. And the tragedy was this, that now we find that these sojourners that were richly blessed and were undertaken for by God in the land of Egypt, they became slaves. They became slaves. And then one day God called Moses, his servant, and he said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go into the presence of Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him that I have a message from God for you." Moses and Aaron went into the presence of Pharaoh, and they told him, "Let my people go, that they might serve me." But friend, you know the story that
Pharaoh refused. He says, who is this God that I should let this people go? He mocked the Lord, and God stepped in, and God sent plagues upon the land of Egypt. And then whenever the plagues came and hit Pharaoh's family and house and his neighborhood and his nation, we find that his heart softened, and he called for Moses, and he said, Moses, would you plead with your God and ask God to remove this plague from me and from my people? And God removed the plague. And immediately, friend, instead of softening his heart and letting God's people go, immediately he hardened his heart again, and he refused to obey the God of heaven. There's a little verse in God's Word, and it says this, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that's what exactly happened unto Pharaoh. The Bible says he hardened his neck, or he hardened his heart against God, and he refused. And God sent 9 plagues, but he said no. He would not let the people go. And then God said this to Moses, yet will I bring 1 plague more. And God is going to step into the land of Egypt, and the death angel is going to pass through to the very palace, right down to the servant, even to the very beasts of the field. And the firstborn would be slain in that night by the death angel. And God said to Moses, tell the children of Israel to slay the lamb. It is a lamb of the first year. And I want you to put the blood in a basin. And then I want you to take the blood, and I want you to apply it on the doorposts and there at the top of the door. He said, because the death angel is passing through. And if, when I see the blood, says God, when the death angel is passing through, he says, I will stand guard over you. The death angel will not be able to get into your home because the blood has been applied. Because when I see the blood, says God, you see, they were inside, they couldn't see it. But the blood had been applied by the loved one of that home. And the firstborn had stayed inside, and the door was shut. And God said, I'll see the blood. And when I see the blood, he says, I will stand guard over you. The death angel passed through the land of Egypt that night. And friend, let me tell you this. Those that were under the blood were safe. Thank God the death angel could not enter in. The death angel could not touch them. Why? Because they were under the blood. They were under the blood. Then God said to them, he said, listen, I want you to always remember this, that the only place of safety tonight was those who were under the blood. There is no other place of safety but those who are sheltered neath the blood of the Lamb. Friend, that tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ, because remember what John the Baptist said, looking and he sees the Savior coming. He says, look, behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his blood. This is the first memorial recorded in the Bible, friend. Isn't that wonderful? The first memorial of the Scriptures, you know what it was? It was about the blood. It was about the blood. And you know this, to this very day, to this very day, God said, listen, I want you to keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And to this very day, thousands of years since then, the Jews are still remembering that feast, the feast of the Passover. That night that the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, because it was to be a feast of remembrance. I ask you this question tonight, friend. You and I, who are travelers to eternity, a few short years ago, we stepped onto the stage of time, and a very short time, we don't know when, we will have to leave the scene of time. But I say this, what Moses said, it's only those who are sheltered under the blood will be saved. Because, my friend, every one of us is under the death sentence, condemned to eternal death, which is the second death, which the Word of God says is that lake which burneth with fire and brimstone called hell. This is the second death. But praise God, those who are under the blood. Thank God, those who are sheltering neath the precious blood of Jesus can say with the words of the hymn writer, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ah, thank God. Thank God for the feast, the remembrance feast, remembering the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Are you under the blood tonight? Friend, that's the only thing I'll count. Are your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb? You sang the hymn tonight at the commencement. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I want to tell you, my friend, the waters of baptism can never take away your sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus can. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And there's not a sin too deep. Thank God there's not a sin too black. But there's power in the blood of the Lamb. It is the remembrance feast. But very quickly, turn over to Joshua chapter 4. And there's a different scene here in Joshua chapter 4. Let's read it in verse number 7. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Not only was there a memorial feast, but for the children of Israel, there were memorial stones. Now, you'll know that many people have gone this very day, and they've stood at memorial stones, friend. They've stood at those war memorials, and they've remembered those that sacrificed their lives. And on many of those stones, you'll find the names of those written there. What's the background here, friend? It's very simply this. You know, God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. Moses died and Joshua took over the reins of leading the children of Israel. And as he was leading the children of Israel into the land of promise that God had promised to give them, they came to the River Jordan. The River Jordan had overflowed its banks. It was harvest time. Last Sunday night, Our brother, the Reverend Hughes, preached a powerful sermon on the overflowing of the river banks, the first harvest that's recorded in the Word of God. The children of Israel come there to the verge of Jordan. There were no bridges for them to cross over. Yes, the water had flooded. It was a flooded condition, and therefore, it was impossible for the multitudes of the children of Israel, for their children, for their livestock, to wade across the river. But praise God, they got across. Do you know why? Because Israel's God intervened. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank God, the Bible tells us that He stopped the waters. He stopped the waters. Go to chapter 3, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest shall bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And friend, you know what happened? Verse 17, and the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. You know what was the worst time as regards crossing the River Jordan? Because the banks were overflowing. It was a time of great difficulty. But you know, let me tell you this, friend. Impossibility is God's opportunity. And whenever the circumstances were at their worst, thank God, God stepped in and God made a way. Maybe there's someone tonight in the service and you're going through hard times. Maybe you say, listen, preacher, tonight, life has never been harder and more difficult. Circumstances. Is there a way through? And maybe the old devil has come to say to a child of God tonight, you know, there's no use you going on with God because there's no hope. You've come to a river. There's no bridges to cross. There's no way over. And if you try to wade your way through, your life will be destroyed. How many times that the old devil has come to tell us that? But thank God, God's on the throne tonight. Thank God the worst opportunity, or the worst of circumstances. It's only God's opportunity. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Only believe. You know, they obeyed the Lord that day. And they took stones out of the riverbed and they carried them. God told them, I want you to carry them to where you're going to camp tonight. You know where the camp was? It was in Gilgal, 6 or 7 miles from Jordan. It wasn't an easy journey. To carry those big boulders, those big stones, the whole way to that place called Gilgal. And then they laid those stones down and they set them up as a memorial to remind them of the deliverances of God. Thank God tonight, we should never forget the deliverance of God for his people. You know, the Lord hath done great things for us, for oft we are glad. Never forget the blessings. You know, it's an awful lot easier for people to remember the burdens than they do the blessings. Somehow you'll remember the day that was such raining out of heaven, you forget the day of sunshine. I want to tell you, God is richly blessed. You know what the psalmist says? God says, forget not all his benefits. And the stones were set up as a memorial. Do you remember the night, friend, you were saved? Is there that moment in your life? Do you remember a moment in your life when you turned in your sin and from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and received him as your Savior? And that night you were born again. You were born from above. You were born of God. Life was hopeless. It all seemed as if it was impossible to go on. And then God stepped in. He worked a miracle. And thank God it was a miracle of his saving grace. And he changed your life. And you've never been the same again. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. For I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But maybe there's someone here tonight and you can't look back to that moment. Because friend, you're not born again of the Spirit of God. You've had the first birth. The Word of God says you're born in sin, in shape and iniquity. That's every man. That's every woman. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only sinless, spotless one to walk the scene of time. But he became sin for us who knew no sin. And he died upon the cross of Calvary. And he shed his precious blood that you and I might be redeemed. Child of God, let me say something to you. Even when things look blackest, God can make a way through. There's nothing too hard for God. We've talked about the remembrance feast. And we've talked about the remembrance stone. But turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. And in that third chapter of the book of Malachi, it's an interesting book, the book of Malachi, because Malachi was to be the last voice from God. And then there were 300 silent years where God had nothing to say to sinful man. Children of Israel had been delivered out of the Babylonian captivity. And then they turned their heart against God and they became corrupt. And Malachi reproves them and rebukes them because of their sin. But friend, in the midst of all the darkness, thank God, the psalmist says, there ariseth light in the darkness. And I see there in the midst of all of this darkness, Malachi chapter 3, a great promise. Behold, verse 1, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And thank God, not only did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come the first time to seek and to save that which was lost, but there is a promise of his coming again. This same Jesus. You know, the world laughs at the child of God and says, you're a fool to think of that. I want to tell you, my friend, he who laughs last, lasts longest. And thank God the child of God is the last laugh with him. You know what God says? I also shall laugh. Proverbs chapter 1. I shall laugh at your calamity, says God, and I shall mock when your fear comes. That's the day when God turns the table. And God laughs at the sinner. who dies in his sin. I have called, says God, ye refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. Nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted my pardon. You wouldn't have my salvation. God says, ye mocked at my reproof. God says, I also shall laugh at your calamity. And I'll mock when your fear comes. But notice verse 16 of chapter 3 of Malachi, and says this: Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and had thought upon his name. There is the book of remembrance, friend. But notice where the book is laid. It says that this book of remembrance was written before him, before God. In the book of Revelation, in the chapter 21, it tells us about the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Many seek honor in this life, friend. They desire their names to be written upon man's roll. But there's a greater roll of honor. It's the honor book of God, the Lamb's book of life. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is your name written there? Have you the honor of your name written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life? Remember a man saying one time, to someone who was honored and his name was written on a roll, and he was talking about the scroll of man's honor. And a wee man, just a wee country man, says, your name may be upon that roll, it might as well be in a sausage roll. Because it was not in God's roll. Then let me ask you, where would you want your name engraved? Where would you want your name inscribed? Where would you count it an honor to have your name written? Greatest honor is to be written on God's roll. Notice who these people are. It says a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. That feared the Lord. Verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? In other words, they're mocking God. And said, it's an empty thing. It's a vain thing to worship God. I know there are many tonight and have no time for the things of God and have no time for the house of God. Let me tell you, see, whenever they die, and they want the preacher to say, you know, all's well. Your daddy's in heaven. Your mommy's with Jesus. All's well. Friend, let me tell you this. Let me say this solemnly. No preacher. No preacher has the right to stand before a family and tell them if a person is without Christ, if a person has died unsaved, no preacher has a right to consign them to heaven. For that man's a liar. And it'll not matter what way his collar's turned. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Friend, it's as clear as that. There's not a multiplicity of ways to get to heaven, friend. Man said to me one night, he says, well, William, that's what you believe. You take it your way, I'll take it mine, and we'll see how we get on. I said, friend, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter about my way, because I'm better than nobody else. I'm just a sinner. But this is what God says. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And then Jesus said this. And if you remember nothing else about this sermon tonight, listen, I want you to get this, friend, as I close. Jesus says, I am, that's Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. Notice it says, he's the way. He's the only way. And then he says this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by Christ. And friend, I tell you tonight as I finish in this service, there is a book of remembrance. There's a book written in heaven. And thank God the names of all the redeemed is written there. Is your name written in the book of life? Maybe there's someone tonight and you say, preacher, I've sought to live for God. I've sought to do what's right and my heart so often has been broken. Let me tell you what God says in his word. In Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And the tears of the child of God are in the book of remembrance. He knows your heartache. He knows your sorrow. He knows your anxiety. He knows what you're going through. But praise God, he has promised his blood-bought people. He said, listen, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. In the darkest night, he's there. In the brightest day, he's still there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for God's book. The remembrance feast. Remember the blood. The remembrance stones. Remember God brought you through. God delivered you. God made a way. And when things were hopeless and when things were dark and things were seemed to be that there was no way through, God provided a way. Remember that, child of God. God will not fail. And thank God there's the book of remembrance. And I rejoice tonight. I know I'm going to heaven no matter what men may say. And I thank God my name's already written there on the pages bright and fair. My name's written in the book of life. May God bring you to himself tonight on this Remembrance Sunday. And then you look back, November 2014. That was the night I got life. As I remembered those who gave their lives, thank God that night I came to the one who gave his life for me. And I received life eternal. The gift of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that thou art the God mighty, mighty to save. We thank thee there's not a man, a woman, boy or girl in the service tonight that's too hard for thee. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt soften their hearts. Speak to us. O God, I pray in Jesus' name, grant that each one will know the Savior. And friend, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, can I simply appeal to you tonight? Get right with God. We're here to help you as God's servant. We'll gladly open God's precious word and show you God's way of salvation, but do not leave without the Lord tonight. For thou knowest not what a day we bring forth. Please come and speak to us about your soul. He's a mighty Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the hymn, Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. And we'll ask our young people to come forward because they're going to play with us this lovely hymn, 608. And they're going to play a verse of this hymn first of all. And then after they play that first verse, we're all going to stand together and we're going to sing together the words of Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. And after we sing this hymn together, and then we're going to have the piper lead the color party back to receive the colors. And we'll pray, and then we'll have the national anthem. 608, just be seated as the young people come and play the first verse for us. Abide with me, and then we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this evening. We thank Thee for Thy voice speaking to our hearts. And so may Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with the people of God, not only this night, but every day that breaks and every night that falls, until the day breaks, the shadows of earth have fled and gone, and we see the Savior as He is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Queen. So once again, another Remembrance Sunday has come to its close. And if the will of God be that we gather here again next year, we don't know whose seats will be missing, whose seats will be emptied. But friend, the important thing is that if we never meet again this side of heaven, God grant we'll meet you on that beautiful shore. Good night. God bless you all. Thank you.